When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record not so daily. And today, in my car, sharing a few thoughts from the mind of a cartoonist. And yes, I've gone back to recording in my car today. For a couple reasons. One, because it's actually breaking the heat. I mean, after being in Washington, D.C., where it was 104 degrees with the heat index, to come back to Michigan and have it be merely 75 degrees is a pretty refreshing change, so I can actually sit in the car to record. And also it has to do with the fact that I'm still playing catch-up after my trip. I've been running around like a lunatic all day today, trying to catch up on emails and getting some actual, you know, paying work done. And I just did not have a spare 15 minutes in studio to record the show, so I happen to have a spare 10 minutes in the car waiting for my wife to get out of work. So here we are in the car again. I'll get back to recording in the studio soon, especially as I slowly try to creep my way towards a daily schedule with this thing. I need to actually schedule a certain time every day where I do the show. And that's probably an entire Thunder Punch Daily later on, figuring out scheduling jobs even when you don't feel like you're in the quote-unquote zone or the mood or whatever you want to call it. But I'll table that for another time, because I've got something on my mind today. My observation of the day came, it's sort of a culmination of thoughts that kind of came to a head when I was talking to Chris Oatley today of Chris Oatley's Artcast at chrisoatley.com. Most of you guys, I'm certain, have heard of him, but if you haven't heard that name or that website before, it's another great Artcast that you can check out for more content like along the lines of what we do at Art and Story. So what was I talking about with Chris? Well, I'm going to back up. I'm going to explain the thoughts that led up to what I'm about to use as my thesis for the day. And this is more of a philosophical wondering, less of a instructional episode or one of those philosophical episodes that's meant to help us as individuals. This is more of a philosophical wondering in a very general sense, something we should have on our minds a lot collectively. Although I think there's steps we can take individually to help make things better collectively. Okay, so now I'll actually get to describing these thoughts. So when I was at ALA in Washington, D.C., I got to talk briefly with a couple of cartoonists who I have a lot of respect for and genuinely like. They were at Kids Read Comics. Dave Roman of yaytime.com. He does a lot of comics that are very well done and very popular. And Raina Telgemeier of GoRaina.com. That's GoRaina.com. She was there promoting her new graphic novel, Smile, which is a memoir comic, which we'll be talking more about on some future Art and Stories, as a matter of fact. So I won't go too much into it here, but you can find out more about her work at GoRaina.com. And I was there to see Raina being interviewed by Bridget Alverson of the Good Comics for Kids blog. You can follow them on Twitter at @goodcomics4kids. That's their Twitter handle. Great blog, as a matter of fact. I was interviewed on their blog once, so of course I'm going to endorse them. But she was interviewing Raina about Raina's book Smile. And for about 20 minutes to an hour after the interview, I got to talk with them, just shooting the breeze, talking about our work, talking about their projects, talking about the promotional tour they're on. And I was having the time of my life. And we were hoping to get to have dinner together afterwards, but scheduling conflicts prevented us from being able to actually meet up. And I was severely disappointed by this. I was really looking forward to hanging out with them. Why? One, because they're good people. But two, because I was at a library conference and the opportunity presented itself to where I could hang out with cartoonists. And I've said this before, but I cannot underscore this enough. I truly love talking with fellow cartoonists. I think comics people are literally the best people in the world. Now, before anybody goes Hitler Youth, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that they are the master race and the future overlords. Sometimes I feel that way. But in a general sense, I don't really believe that. I'm just saying that as a human being, as an individual, I prefer talking with cartoonists. I think that they, generally speaking, are very interesting people. They love what I love, and we have a lot to say to each other. Yeah, I think people in general are good, and I don't have a problem. I think you guys realize by now that I'm a fairly gregarious guy, and I have no problem making small talk with people. But we've all been in a situation where it's difficult to carry on a conversation with somebody because we have nothing in common. So of course I'm always going to gravitate towards comics people. But I think there's another piece of the puzzle here that came out of my conversation with Chris Oatley. Is that Chris was asking me, and it was just as a general kind of like wondering. It was like the sort of thing you say in a sigh, and you don't mean it 100. I'm speaking for Chris now, but it's the way you say it when you know that it's not absolutely true, but it's just like a kind of like, oh, why can't it be that way? And Chris was saying something to the effect of, why aren't there more shows about visual storytelling? Why aren't there more really good shows about visual storytelling? And that was with the acknowledgement that there are a lot of great shows. Ted Secco's Idiot Engine continues to be one of my very favorite podcasts about visual storytelling and about being an artist. Oatley's show is good. I actually really enjoy the other microcast on Art and Story Supreme. How could I not? Mark of the Beast and Kevin Cross's High Adventure Daily. There's a lot of good stuff out there. But it was a situation where Chris was kind of like, just kind of casually wondering, like, why hasn't there been an explosion of visual storytelling podcasts the way there have been in other mediums? Look up photography in iTunes, for example. There's a lot of photography podcasts. Look up Macintosh in the iTunes podcasting listings. There's a lot about Macs, right? But there are comparatively rare to find really good art podcasts and specifically visual storytelling podcasts. And I took that as an opportunity to think about it a little bit. And I'm reminded of something that I think is a deep problem, especially in the American comic book world, or maybe North American comic book world. I think we're still suffering from the repercussions of Frederick Wortham and everything that came after him. Now, for those who don't know, Frederick Wortham wrote a book called Seduction of the Innocent in the 1950s, and it erroneously associated comic book reading with juvenile delinquents. So the short version of the story, I advise everybody who cares about their craft and their industry to find out more about this if they don't know what I'm talking about, because this is a very dark chapter in our history, and it's important to know what happened so that it can never happen again. In a very real sense, part of what I do as a comics advocate is partially in response to what happened to make sure that that cannot happen again. What he did was he did this case study where he was studying these kids who committed suicide, did drugs, did all these bad things, and made the correlation that, oh, all these kids read comic books. And this is where we get to bring up that scientific principle of correlation is different than causation. It just so happens that all kids read comic books back then. And yes, the kids were reading EC horror comics, but that in those horror comics tended to be very grotesque and very violent, but no more so than horror films, horror books. But because of the visual imagery of comic books, they are so much more evocative than the printed word. People thought they must have some kind of extra power. And so that's where the Comics Code Authority came from, where the industry self-regulated itself. Self-regulated itself? Yeah, that's redundant. But so they instituted this comics code, which essentially crippled the medium to where all you could do is write stories for young people. And then we suffered the backlash in the 80s where comics tried to outgrow the comics code and show that comics could be for adults too. But that was replete with its own problems in the sense that they were still using superheroes to tell adult stories, which I personally think is a bit of a broken idea in a lot of ways, although there are some exceptions, of course, always. So where am I going with this? I think that in a general sense, not speaking for anybody listening individually, but I think in a general sense, there's still a bit of a self-esteem problem amongst North American comics creators in that one of the reasons I think there aren't as many good art podcasts out there is I think that in a general sense, a lot of comics creators, whether they know it or not, have a slight bit of self-esteem issue to where every time, let me use this as an example. We've all seen a flame war on the internet at some point or another about our beloved medium. Scott Kurtz says something that makes somebody mad, and that's how these things get started. Or DJ Kaufman says something that makes people get mad, and people all start fighting. Inevitably, somebody comes in there and tries to diffuse the situation by saying, hey guys, calm down, it's just comics after all. That's when I get mad, because you don't get to say that, in my opinion. If you really want people to take this medium seriously, no matter how petty the squabble, saying it's just comics after all is no different. Replace it with any other art form. It's just painting after all. It's just sculpture after all. It's just dance after all. See how that sounds? It sounds silly. We respect those other mediums, and we should show the same respect for comics. And I think that there's this sense that, oh, it's just funny books, is sort of an implicit admission that you're not taking it very seriously. And I don't think that we necessarily need to be Andy Warhol and cocking our eyebrow and looking weird at people about our craft. But I do think that we should avoid using language like that, because I think we all, every one of us, need to accept the fact that this is a serious business. This craft should be taken seriously, and we should be serious about having fun, to use Kevin Cross's words. But at the same time, we should accept the fact that this is a respected endeavor. And I think that that bad self-esteem that we're still suffering from what happened in the 1950s in the United States, I think it affects us all in some way or another, to where I think a lot of comics creators, again, not speaking for anybody specifically, they because of that perceived sense of comics' place in the world, they don't think that they're doing something brilliant, even when they are. Even when it's not genius, it can be brilliant. And even if it's not award-winning, even if it doesn't even deserve an award, the fact that you're making comics and you're working really hard and you're doing this wonderful convergence of the rules of literature and the rules of art, you're choosing moments and you're choosing paneling and you're choosing just this word choice, those are really sophisticated things. And we need to accept the fact that what we're doing, even if we can't put words to it necessarily effectively, what we're doing is really smart. What we're doing requires sophisticated thinking. And I think that's one of the, I think if more of us accepted that, more of us would realize that we have something to say. Now, I'm not talking about ego here. If Art and Story ever becomes the Jersey Show or the Mark Show or the Kevin Show, it's broken. We're always talking in service to comics. I'm not talking about having a big head that, yes, I am all that. To talk about the Indian story of the boy who crossed the river, even though the waters flooded the bridge, and he thought of his guru and said, guru, 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 and then he could walk across the water. And then the guru hears the story and says, well, maybe I am all that. So he tries to cross the river and goes, I, and he drowns because he was missing the point. The boy transcended himself by thinking of the guru. The guru was thinking only of himself, and that's why he sunk. When we talk about comics, it's always in the service of comics, but it's with a confidence, not an arrogance, not an ego, but an assurance that what we're doing is pretty smart. And instead, we're not congratulating ourselves about it, we're just talking about it because it's interesting. So that's what I'm really driving at here, is I think that the reason I like talking to comics people so much is because I do think comics people are brilliant. I think almost all of them are brilliant people. Yes, of course, there's always going to be intelligent fakers. There's going to be people who, they say six words to me about their craft, and I roll my eyes and go, okay, I'm done. Because you clearly aren't in it for the reasons that I'm in it for. But I think most of the people who are making comics, even though they may think that they're not doing something brilliant, they really are. And if you ask them a few questions, you'll see that that's true. And what I think all of us need to remind ourselves of, and I hate to sound like a self-motivator or a motivational speaker, but this needs to be said, I think, is that we all need to remind ourselves what we're doing is incredibly sophisticated and powerful and rich and unique. And if we can internalize that a little bit and operate out of a sense of assurance, then I think you're going to find out that you do have an opinion about why you do what you do, even if it takes a while for you to formulate the right words. That's something that comes with time. Public speaking and talking intelligently about your craft comes with time and practice. But what is required first and foremost is an assurance that what you're doing is worthwhile and worth talking about. And then I think we're going to see, once more of us feel this way, and I hope it doesn't take an entire generation to get there, but if it does, it does. We're going to find more of us are going to be doing more of this broadcasting, podcasting, whatever you want to call it, sharing information with one another in whatever form you have to do it, whether it's a blog or a podcast or an audio boot or a video. Okay, I feel exercised. So who am I? I'm Jersey Droz, Jersey on the Twitters. Thank you very much for supporting this project. We couldn't do this without you. And I guess I'm speechless. I've emptied my clip, as it were. And just know that, you know, what you guys, just as I think comic book people are the best people in the world, Supreme subscribers are in the upper echelon of that, of course, because you guys believe as strongly as we do that comics are worth discussing and worth pouring our guts into. And that means the world to me. Without further ado, I'll get out of here. I'll be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. And until then, remember, everybody.
Today, I want to talk to you about courage. Now, courage not only means being brave in the face of danger, it also means having the strength to say no when your friends are trying to talk you into doing something you know is wrong. In short, courage means having principles and sticking to them, no matter what. See you all again soon.